For your word, Lord, thank you, dear God, for your Holy Spirit. And thank you, dear God, that in all the challenges of life, Lord, there is a place to rest, Lord, as we come to you, Lord, as we long for you and we abide in you. Lord, I ask that you would just work in our hearts this morning, Lord. There is so much, Lord, that is going on in our lives. Father God, we just ask that you would just meet with us now. Lord, I pray that you would comfort us, Lord. There's probably not one of us here that, as we say, doesn't have something going on that really needs you, Lord, today to meet with them, to encourage their hearts, to strengthen us, dear God, for the journey, Lord, today and in the days ahead. And I pray, Lord, that you would just speak to us, take away all the distractions, Lord. Help us as we come to your table, even to celebrate communion, Lord, and just the fact, Lord, as we remember your death, burial, and resurrection, Lord, that changed everything. And I just pray, Lord, that you would just speak to our hearts now, and I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So you guys, check it out. This is our college and career last night, and Jonathan and Gloria took them out. And by the way, they're on the roof of Isaac's house right in Chinatown. So that is pretty cool. So we just praise God how God is just working in all of our midst with our young people, with our college and career. And by the way, we have some plans we're putting together for us older people, too, coming up. So we're going to make a reservation for Isaac's roof, right? So there's a lot of good things going on, and we just thank God for that, and we just praise God for our team. Amen. So we are going to skip on down and just talk about where we are today, and I thank God. We continue looking at this passage called, or this series called Good Stewardship. And what we're trying to do is get a handle on managing the life that God has entrusted to us. And I don't know about you guys, managing this life is no easy job. We got a lot of blessings, but there's a lot of challenges that we face as well. And we're talking about those today. And we're going to skip right down to the next slide and just talk about this idea. And by the way, this is part two. And Rosemary, I changed my mind. There's going to be a part three. Because there's no way we're going to cover all this, do the Lord's table, and also pray for our students at the end today. So we are looking today at, by the way, this is a big topic, caring for our soul, our spirit, and our mind. And, you know, we spend a lot, you know, we spend a lot of time and a lot of energy caring for this body that's not going to last for eternity. By the way, that's a good thing, because everything we do in this life is going to get done in this earth suit that God has given us, but we got to care for our soul and our spirit and our mind. And I want to just take us down to the next slide real quickly, just kind of getting our thoughts wrapped around this. And hopefully you guys, we talked about this a little bit last week and we'll finish it next week, but life on earth is draining. Can I get an amen to that? It's kind of draining, right? And it's draining for our soul and our mind. And I want to throw this out. The question that comes to our mind all the time is, how can I truly care for my spirit, my soul, and my mind so that I am refreshed and that I can glorify God in all the seasons of life? By the way, that's what God has called us to do. And just kind of jot this down. Everybody, look up for a second. Life has seasons, doesn't it? You know, we have a season when we're young. We have a season, you know, as we grow up, we become young adults. We begin to raise our families. And then as our families grow up, we enter a new season, then we have retirement and all those other things. But there's seasons to life. And by the way, those seasons have many blessings that are different in each one, but the challenges also change. And God wants to equip us through the eternal words of Scripture to kind of deal with those changes and deal with those things. So the eternal truth I want to give you this morning, and I'm just taking us down to the next slide, is God has redeemed us for himself. And we're going to celebrate that this morning. You know what? Today, the vast majority of us, we are part of the family of God this morning. Amen. And we're going to remember what Jesus did to bring us in. We're going to celebrate that. But God has redeemed us for himself. We are not our own, and he wants us to manage and be good stewards of our spirit, our soul, and our mind for his glory. And by the way, you can write this on, for our own good. You know, I'll throw this out. We're not going to do anything without this body, but everything we do in this life is going to pass through our spirit, soul, and mind as well. So we got to take care of that element. So we're going to jump right on down. as we continue. And we leave this slide in every week, right? Stewardship, everyone thinks we're talking about money, but we're talking about managing all the things of life. The money thing, we're going to come to that now in a couple of weeks, but we'll get there. But we got to focus on everything else because that's just one thing. So I want to take us to our definitions for a minute, and we'll go right to the next slide. But I want to throw this out. We need to recognize in ourselves that we have an inner man and an inner woman. Right? Bible calls it inner man, and it kind of means in a joint way. But there's an inner person that we have to be concerned about. And that inner man is made up of spirit, soul, heart, and mind. Life has its challenges. We live in a broken world. Anybody experience that even today? Anybody wake up and have a tire? So we live in a broken world, a challenging world, and we need some direction where we go for our help. And I'm going to just kind of review a little bit of that from last time. So take us down to the next slide, if you would. We appreciate that. And I want to just take a look just at these definitions for a quick moment this morning. And I want you to get a hold of this as we stop and think about it. These are some statements that are very biblical that we just kind of get a handle on if we think about our inner man, our inner woman. The first one, it says, man has been created with an inner man that is not physical or material and an outer man that is physical and material, our body. We got both. We got to care for both. We spent a couple weeks ago talking about our bodies just a little bit ago. Here's the deal. We can't neglect either man as good stewards of God's creation, and each affects the other when it comes to our health and our ability to please and serve God. Now, throw this out. If we don't take care of our body, we're not going to be able to serve God because everything we do on this earth is a function of our body. Right? Likewise, in the same way, if we don't take care of our inner man, if we don't take care of him, guess what? We're not going to do anything in this body well either. So we got to keep taking in mind both of those things. The third point that's there actually says four. The Bible describes man as body, soul, and spirit. There's kind of three parts to us. And we're commanded to love the Lord with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And I want to just stop and take that verse for a second. By the way, that's Matthew chapter 22, verse 37. And it's also Mark chapter 9 as well. And just as a thought on this, we're supposed to love God with all our heart. That kind of talks about like our emotional elements there, and our mind. We purpose to do that. Our soul, by the way, is this place, and we'll define this in a minute, that is sort of where life hits the road. It's where all these things come together and we decide what we're going to do. Our mind is our intellectual element, and we gotta work on that as well. And then finally, the idea of strength is we expend energy as we love God. Like there's a physical element to love, and you can jot this down. You probably heard this before. What part of speech is love? It's a verb. In other words, it's an action word. Like love is action. Love is not just, something that we talk about. It's not just a card. It's not just those kind of things. We love in action. And the writings of Scripture and the people who received it, by the way, they had a much more integrated view of this inner person. And I want to throw this out. Here's what I mean by that. As human beings, especially in the West, we are part of that. What we like to do, right, is we like to dissect things and find out exactly what part does what. When the Bible talks about our spirit, our soul, our mind, and our heart, sometimes it uses those words somewhat interchangeably to describe what goes on in our inner man. They work together in a complementary way. So as we go through, we're going to define some things in a minute. I want to just share with you that sometimes these definitions, there's going to be an overlap. We're not going to cut it so clean and so perfect. And, you know, I'll share with you, I spent about 6 hours yesterday trying to think through this idea of spirit and soul and cut it just right. And I don't think I still did. So we're going to talk about that a little bit this morning as we go through. So I want to take us down, and we're going to skip down. I want to go down to the slide that says number 2, resurrecting our spirit. So take us right down there, if you would. Go down 2 more, if you would. There it is. We want to talk about this idea of our spirit. And I want to get a handle on this for a minute, and we'll go right to the next slide. What is our spirit? What is the human spirit? You know, we see all kinds of things about it. We know that it must make a difference. It must matter. You know, we hear songs about the human spirit. We see movies about the human spirit. What is this thing called the human spirit? And the scriptures kind of define that. And I want to go right down to the next slide if we can. This idea of our human spirit and our state. And here's the human spirit. Notice in Genesis chapter 1, we're going all the way back to the beginning. It says, then God said, let us make man in our image. According to our likeness, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Genesis 1, 26 and 27, that's that passage. And I'm going to throw this out. When we think about our spirit, I want you to get your arms around this for a second. Man like God can think. Stop thinking about that. You know, I have a dog. I love my dog. My dog is he's a border collie. He is supposed to be the smartest dog in the whole world. But he doesn't think like a human being. We love him, you know, he almost acts human at times, you know, but he's not human. And God has given this unique ability that man, like God, can think. Man can feel. We feel pain, we feel love, we feel sadness, we feel regret, you know, we feel anger. I hope you're not feeling that right now. We feel all those things, right? That's what God has created into us. He's given us the ability to use love and the idea of love. Just about the idea of loving, like we giving and sacrificing and caring about someone other than yourself. By the way, I'll stop. Have you ever seen animals do that? Not so much, right? Not so much, right? God's given us the ability to enjoy things. You know, enjoy a good meal, enjoy a good conversation, enjoy a relationship, enjoy a sunset. God's given us that ability to do those things. And by the way, here's the final one. This is one that's challenging. God has also given us an ability to exercise our free will. And that's good, isn't it? You know, today if you're going out to lunch, you can say, I don't want that, I want that. Right? God's given us free will. And literally what God has created into us in this human spirit is an intellect, emotion, a will to do what we want to do, and the ability, and God says it here, to have dominion, rule over the things of earth. And we can do all those things. And God's created that in our spirit. And go down with me to point number 2. And it says, and the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground, and he breathed in his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. Some Bibles translate that word soul. In other words, God breathed life into man, making him a unique, living, rational, spiritual being in the creator of creation. God made us different. You know, we as men and women are the crown of God's creation, and God has given us this thing that distinguishes us, not just a body, not just, desires to eat and survive, but God has given us the ability to think, to enjoy, to worship, to create, to exercise our free will, to have emotions and even to render dominion over the things around us. God has given us all those things. And I want you to get this in your mind. Number three, this is like so important. The spirit of man is the element of our humanity that enables us to relate to God, who is spirit, in an appropriate way. In other words, God, when he created us, gave us a human spirit that could commune with his spirit and that could obey his spirit and follow his spirit in a way that brings glory to God. God gave us a spirit. Now I want to throw this out. Here's the bad part. Write this on your paper. It's four letters. Without Jesus Christ, your spirit is dead. It's dead. And if we're going to care for our soul and care for our body and be anything that God wants us to be, we got to fix the problem that our spirit is dead. We got to fix that. And we'll go down to the next slide and it kind of talks about that just a little bit. A couple passages, right? Our human spirit was harmed, damaged, and even destroyed in the fall when Adam sinned. Here's what happened. Our relationship, our fellowship with the living God died, and it resulted in this thing we call spiritual death. In other words, we as human beings outside of Jesus Christ can't really relate to God at all. Think about that. We might talk about God. But God is just this thing that's out there, this force that's out there. We can't relate to God unless our spirit is revived. And we read about this in Genesis chapter 2, verse 17. In Genesis 2, 17, right? God commanded Adam, he said, "Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, don't eat it. Because in the day you do, you will surely die." And here's the issue, by the way. Did Adam and Eve physically die the day they ate of the fruit? No. By the way, I think the death process started like it does for us. Like we're born and we're on our way to death as our bodies wear out. That started, but he did not instantly die. But what died is that God and man could no longer relate to each other. I'm going to give you a quick example. If you go to Genesis chapter, as you go to Genesis chapter 3, when Adam and Eve partook of the fruit, right? Remember what happened? They were in the garden. They were speaking with God day after day, talking to God face to face, right? And God found them, and they were hiding in the bushes. And God said, "Adam, where are you?" And he says, "We're hiding. Why are you hiding?" "Because we're afraid, we're naked, and we're ashamed, and we're afraid." And God said, "What happened?" And here's what happened. Their spirit died. Their spirit died. And I want to throw this back. Hey, look at number five on the list here. The only way back from spiritual death is receiving God's Holy Spirit through faith in Jesus Christ. He gives life to our dead spirit, and he restores our relationship with God. And I want to just, we're going to skip down for a second, but we can read about that in Romans chapter 8, verse 16, and I'll hit this real fast. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ together. The Holy Spirit, when he becomes part of us as God's gift, he confirms our identity in Christ. He convicts us of sin in our conscience, and he enables us to live a life that's controlled by the Spirit that pleases God. In essence, the Spirit gives life. He brings that life back. But I want to share quickly about our human state, and go with me down to the next slide. The book of Ephesians chapter 2 probably describes this the best. Check it out. Look what it says. It says, "And you," and he's talking about all mankind who have found Jesus Christ, "and you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. Among also we once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as others. Everybody look up. What's Paul talking about? Paul uses a lot of words, doesn't he, sometimes? But here's what he's talking about, right? When our soul, when our spirit died in the Garden of Eden, and by the way, Adam has passed on in our humanity a dead spirit to everyone who was ever born on this earth. When our spirit died, we could no longer relate to a living God. We could not have a relationship with him. God is holy. He could not look on our sin. We were separated from God. And the only way to fix that dead spirit was to put our faith in Jesus Christ, who died to conquer sin and to give us life back and to give us a newness of life. Amen. And that's kind of the key thing. And when I stop and I want to throw this back out for a second, why is this important? Why are we talking so much about this? Here's why. Because our human spirit has to be made alive if we're going to do anything to manage our inner man. And I'm going to throw this out. You know, a lot of times people go to counselors. People go to, addiction centers. People go to all kinds of places to fix their inner person and their inner problem. But unless my spirit is made alive, you can only go so far. Does that make sense? Now, throw this out. You see this, by the way. Even in this world of addiction that we live in today, you know what? There are so many different services that are available out there, but unless the human heart is changed, unless the spirit of man is made alive, there's a limit to what strategies and techniques and medicine and all of those things can really do. And if we're going to steward our inner man, our spirit has to be made alive. It's the only way, right? It's the only way that's going to change anything for us in our spiritual health. We can do a lot of things, right, to keep people sort of, from going off the rails. But guess what? The only thing that has lasting value in eternity and really lasting help in this life is our spirit needs to be made alive, right? And that's such a key thing. And he talks about there. And by the way, look at verse 4. And it kind of says this, right? It says, you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins in which you once walked according to the prince of the power of the air. In other words, Satan is the prince. He's the one who's controlling everything in this world. He says, you also conducted yourselves in the lust of your flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as others. Here's what he's saying. When you're dead, you really can't change. I don't know about you. We've seen maybe a dead animal, a dead pet, dead people. Unless life is breathed into them, we cannot affect a spiritual life-changing change. And that's what he's getting at here, right? But he says, but God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love in which he loved us even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up together and made us sit in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Literally, right? God has changed our position and we now sit in the heavenly places, not in the lowly places on earth or in hell. Because God is not bound by time and space. So when God sees us, where do we sit? In the heavenly places in Christ with a spirit that has been made alive. And that's such a key thing. So I want to just stop and say this before we go to our next thought. Guess what? If we're going to care for our inner man and inner woman, we have to address the fact that our spirit is dead. We have to. There's no health if you're dead. There's no life if you're dead. We have to address that fact. we have to receive Christ if we're going to really change and have a spiritual vitality. And that's the key thing he wants us to understand. So the Spirit, right, is the part of us that does what? Relates to the living God. It's dead because of Adam and Eve. It's made alive through faith in Jesus Christ. And that's the only thing that's there. Let's talk about the soul. How do we restore our soul? How do we do that, right? And, you know, we talked about this in a similar way, right? We'll go down to the next slide, if you would, there. God made us, right? He gave us all those things that involve our spirit and our soul. And I want you to go skip on right down to verse 3 and check out what the soul is all about. The soul is our personality center in which the mind, the will, and the emotions operate and is where we relate to the spirit, self, and others. And by the way, the word soul can also mean our whole being, but in the immaterial part, the soul is the place where decisions are made to follow the spirit or follow our own desires. So think about it this way. The soul, right, is the confluence. You ever heard that word before? The confluence is like where two rivers meet together, where the Rancocas meets the Delaware. You know, in Pittsburgh, there's Three River Stadium. Three rivers all come together. That's the confluence. That's where they all come together. The soul is where the spirit that gives us our mind, our will, and our emotions operates. It's that place where the rubber hits the road. Who am I going to obey? What am I going to do? What do I really believe? What are my choices or my decisions going to be? And that's what the soul is all about. It's that personality center. And that soul, by the way, you know, is that immaterial part of us that, you know, feels love, feels pain, feels joy, feels sadness, gets beat up in the things of life. So I want to skip down to the next slide. Let's understand our soul just a little bit more for a second. We talked about this a little bit quickly last week, right? And I'll skip right on down to the very last part, picking up at verse 4 of Psalm 55. The problems of this world impact our soul. And it impacts, you know, as all those things come together, you know, what we're going to do and all those things. Guess what? Our soul is feeling the weight of the world as we go through life. And the psalmist wrote this. He said, "My heart is severely pained within me, and the terrors of death have fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling have come upon me, and horror has overwhelmed me. So I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove. I would fly away and be at rest. Indeed, I would wander far off, and I would remain in the wilderness, Selah." Just a quick word. As you guys read, this word is used in the Psalms a lot. It's a Hebrew word, Selah. And it has this idea of where we're just stopping to pause and really think about what was just said. And by the way, isn't that life just beats us up in a broken world. We just struggle, and our soul just gets beat down to a place where we don't want to make decisions anymore. We're not sure, should we trust God? Should we trust ourselves? Should we sin, or should we follow what God says? We're in this place where we're just so roughed up by the world. You know, and I'll skip down to the next slide to illustrate that. 2 Corinthians talked about that in the beginning of verse 8. He just says, "We're hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed." Let me throw this out. Everybody look up. What do you see in this passage? You see the problem, but you still see hope, don't you? This is a soul that is walking close to God. We're hard-pressed. By the way, a lot of times in our world, when we're hard-pressed, we're ready to get out. He said, we're hard-pressed, but we're not crushed. We are perplexed, but we're not in despair. We don't understand what's going on, but we know who does. We are persecuted, but we know we're not forsaken by God. We're even struck down at times, but we're getting back up. We're not destroyed. And that's what he said. This is what life does to us. And I want to say this. This picture, I want you to get a hold of. These are the problems of life, but this is what happens when your soul and my soul is healthy. I'm feeling all these things, but I'm not giving up. I'm feeling all these things, and my head's not hanging down. My eyes are looking up. That's a healthy soul that we need in this life. And by the way, a lot of times this message might seem like it's more for older people or middle-aged people, but there's so many young people that even have contemplated suicide in our world. They need to understand, you know what? Life's problems do all those things, but guess what? There's hope in Christ, right? That healthiness of the soul has got to come from that, you know, and that's that perspective. And we just sang the song, and take us there, please, if you would. We just sang the song, right? Our heart is like a deer's heart. We pant for the water brooks. Our soul pants for God. Our soul thirsts for the living God, because all the things I'm tasting in this life don't quench the thirst of my heart and my soul. Right? And just kind of continuing on, you know, we understand that there is help. And Psalm 91, and take us there if you would, please. Psalm 91 kind of tells us about this. By the way, let me stop before I say anything else. Isn't it interesting? By the way, so there's a ton of scripture, isn't there, that addresses this issue. And I know you're not going to remember all that. We can give you the PowerPoint if you want it. There's a ton of scripture that addresses our heart, our soul, our mind, and our health of our inner man or woman. And this is the perspective that we got to come away with, right, is that, you know, I'm going to lift up my eyes to the hills. From where comes my help? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. And we got to kind of embrace that and grab onto that. And guess what? In this life, we have a good shepherd, and take us there, please, if you would, Andrea. We have a good shepherd, and his name is Jesus, and it says he's such a good shepherd that I'm not going to need anything. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He meets my need, and he restores my beaten-up soul. Right? And that's something we got to talk about. So we want to kind of gather that perspective in. And I want to take you then to where we want to think about this morning. And take us down to the next slide quickly. We looked at some of these last time. You know, Matthew 11, right? Look what Matthew 11 says. It says, come to me, all you who are labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. You know, the Lord's saying, I know how you feel. By the way, he was talking to the Jews of his day in the book of Matthew, who were trying to keep the law, who were trying to please the Pharisees and the Sadducees, who were trying to do it all right, who were trying to deal with the persecution of the Roman Empire, who were trying to make life work like we are. Things were costing too much. Jobs were scarce. People were dying. People were suffering. It was just like we live now. And Jesus entered the picture and he said, come to me, all you are labor and are heavy laden, and I want to give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. We got to come to that place. And that's where I want to take us next briefly this morning. So get on to the next slide and get it again, Andrea. And the next slide is kind of this. So what is this pathway to the health of our soul? What is it? And I want to take you to John chapter 15, famous passage, right? And the idea is this, that we need to abide or remain in Christ. Write down this word. We use that word abiding. We sing about it sometimes. Safely abiding is an old hymn. We talk about, what does it mean to abide? It means to remain in a close relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, so that his strength, his energy, his power will fill you and keep you in the midst of what ails you. And that's what we want to talk about. Now, I just want to look at John 15 briefly this morning And by the way, this is the beginning. This is the foundational place, right? If we're going to have a healthy soul, there's only one place that's possible. And here it is. Look what the Lord says. He says, and I just want to give you a moment of background on this. John 15, right, is kind of smack dab in the middle of the Gospel of John. And guess what? Jesus is preparing the disciples for the fact that he is physically going to leave earth. Passages like John 14, right? John 14, or, you know, right before this chapter. Remember what Jesus said? He said, "Let not your heart be troubled." He's speaking to our souls, right? By the way, everybody look up for a second. Anybody got a heart that's troubled this morning? Right? There's a few of us here. I'm sure there's more than a few, right? That there's something on your mind, there's something you're concerned about. You know, we don't want to say it because as Christians we're not supposed to worry. You're worried about it or you're really concerned, right? We're wrestling with this life. All of us are. And the Lord is addressing this to the disciples. He's trying to help these disciples understand they're not just servants of the living God. They are his friends. And he says, this is how I want you to live. This is how I want you to think. He said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes. And the first thing I want to just mention, I kind of put it up here. Who are the people in this story? This is kind of a parable in a way, right? Who are the people here? So once you get a hold of the people, God the Father is the vine dresser. You know what that means? He owns the whole vineyard. It's all his, right? So in this world, who owns the world? God does. The second person I want you to get a hold of in this is the vine. The vine is the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you ever driven around? By the way, if you drive up sort of north toward Bordentown, or you go out to Medford, or you go down by Route 30, New Jersey has vineyards all over the place. And the idea of the vine is that thick part of the grape plant that doesn't get cut away every year. It stays there all the time, and it's the place that the sap and all the nutrients of life flow out to those branches and ultimately flow in to those grapes. And the Lord says, he's the vine. And then the branches, you hear that? The branches, by the way, they shoot out every spring. Every year there's new branches, right? The branches are us. And I don't know about you, unless we're connected to the vine, the branch doesn't last very long. You know, we buy all kinds of cut flowers, right, to show our love for our significant others, and they don't last very long, right? Yeah, you could spend, you know, Valentine's Day, you could spend $100 for the roses, in about a week they'll look like this. Right? Tips, right? Tips, right? Tips. Right? They don't last because they're not connected to anything anymore. And the point, right, for our spiritual health is unless we are connected in this abiding relationship with Jesus Christ, we're not going to last. We're not going to hold up to the pressure, and we're being pressed on every side. We are going to be crushed. And we're going to feel like we're alone, and we're going to feel like there's no hope. But we got to stay connected to the vine. And the persons, right? God the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, and us. That's who's in this picture. What's the process? Look what the process is. And by the way, people read this verse so wrong because we don't understand sort of the way the language and the culture took this. Look what it says. It says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And I'm going to throw this out. Everybody look up. God wants every single one of us who are his children to bear fruit. So he never takes away or cuts off his people. He said it, right? I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Right? Our salvation is sure and steadfast. We read John 10 and it says, the Lord's going to keep every one of us. None of us can get out of his hand. Nobody can pull us out. Nobody can jump out. We can't leave God's hand. He's going to keep us and he's going to bring us through to the finish. God says that, right? So here, get this picture with me for a second. What he's talking about in this picture is, he says, every branch that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Here's the deal. A lot of times, you know why the branch doesn't bear fruit? Because the branch is hanging down to the ground. And guess what? In order for it to get light, it's got to get lifted up to the light, to the sun. Right? That's what God does. By the way, bring those guys on in. And notice he continues here and he says that it might bear more fruit. And he says, you are already clean because of the word which has been spoken to you. In other words, he's speaking this to believers. The disciples knew Christ and he says, you are clean, but you need to be lifted up. You need to be in this relationship with God where life is. And notice what he says next. Get this in your mind as part of this process. It says, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. And I want to stop and think about that for a second. Have you ever cut a branch off of a plant? Like maybe it's a tomato plant in New Jersey, right? You cut it off the plant. Do the flowers still become tomatoes? No. You know, the tomatoes that are there might ripen up. They won't get any bigger. They won't get any better. They'll be just like they were when you cut them off. And what he's trying to say here is exactly that. We can't bear any fruit. We can't be fruitful in this life and be a blessing in this life unless what? We are connected to the vine. And if our soul's not connected to the vine, that's when it dries up. That's when we hurt. That's when we feel like we can't go on. That's when we are greatly spiritually and soulfully unhealthy. And that's the point I want us to kind of walk away with this morning as we stop and think about that. Go down to the next one, if you would. You know what? There is power in this connection. And he says, I am the vine, you are the branches, and he who abides in me and I in him bears what kind of fruit? Much fruit. So if I keep that connection going, fruit is going to be born. I'll quickly illustrate this. I remember, especially back in the day, when I worked in corporate America, I happened to be there when personal computers came to every desk. Some of you can remember that, right? You know, I was alive when the Apple IIe was there. And our $7 billion company had one. Now they have one on every desk, right? But I can remember, whenever things would go wrong, guess what you would do? You'd call up the help desk. They'd say, what's wrong? I can't do any work. It's not coming on. And you know, press the on-off switch. Do that. What's wrong? And here's some of the funniest occasions, right? Someone would walk up to your desk. They'd look at the computer, they'd size it all up, and they'd say, guess what? It's not plugged in. You ever been there, right? What's wrong with this thing? It's not plugged in. It doesn't work unless it's plugged in. As a believer in Jesus Christ, we cannot be healthy in our soul unless we are plugged in this relationship of abiding. So real quick, what's abiding look like? Abiding looks like this. Abiding looks like obedience. Look what Jesus says. He says, I also have loved you, abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. So we stay following Christ. We obey him. We continue to learn what to obey, how to obey him, what to do. That's this abiding relationship. That is the centerpiece, the foundation of a spiritual life that is healthy. That's the health of the immaterial man is tied to who are you connected with. And it has to be Jesus. And I'm gonna stop there, and we're going to talk a little bit in next week about our soul and how do I care for it? How do I make sure I stay plugged in? How do I plan? How do I do all those things? We'll talk about that some more as we get our hands around this idea of really caring for and shepherding our souls.
But I want to ask you all a question today. Do me a favor, bow your head and shut your eyes. If you're a young person, do that too, okay? Here's the deal. And hopefully only I'm looking, maybe a few others looking. God is definitely looking. Here's the deal. If we're honest today, how many of us are wrestling hard with the things of this life? Raise your hand. It's a whole bunch of us, by the way. We're not alone, right? We're wrestling hard with the things of this life. Here's the second question. How many of us are really abiding in this deep and growing relationship with Jesus? You know, how many of us are? By the way, a lot of times the hands up for the first question, not so much for the second question. I'll throw this out. When the pressures of life get tough, what do we do? What goes out the window? Our devotional life, our prayer life, our fellowship with each other, our fellowship with the Lord, our time with the Lord, it kind of goes away because we get so consumed and sucked into doing all the things we think we need to do. So I want to challenge us this morning, before we go to the Lord's table. Probably every one of us, starting with the speaker, needs to really invest more time into caring for my soul by abiding more in Jesus. And I will find a renewed strength to go on. I have a new perspective. And I just want to challenge us with that this morning. Let's just pray. Father God, these are not truths that we have not heard, but these, Lord, are truths that we neglect. And I pray, Father, that if there is anyone here, Lord, who is just feeling just really roughed up by the things of this life, I pray, dear God, that you would take us back to that abiding relationship with Jesus as the beginning and a starting point for spiritual and soulful health.